Imagine you get an email on Friday afternoon, a quick favor that turns into a promised delivery by Monday. You say yes, the team says yes, and by Sunday night, someone is working in the dark. By Monday, the promise slips, a leader gets angry, trust erodes, and the next week, people start saying yes faster than they can actually deliver. That's the story that brought us here today.
I've been in that room too. Everyone nodding, everyone polite, and then the system fills with hidden deadlines. The result isn't heroics, it's burnout and unpredictability. So today we're promising you three things. A one-page promise register template, a weekly meeting cadence to keep it current, and a 30-day pilot plan you can run right away.
Exactly. Commitments, spoken and implied, are system artifacts. They create dependencies, they create handoffs, and if we don't make them visible, they become liabilities. Principles don't expire, practices do. And today, we focus on a practice that preserves both trust and capacity.
Before we bring our guests in, let's be blunt about the usual failure modes. Nobody owns the promise. Polite yes culture does the heavy lifting, and implicit deadlines, those by end of week remarks, kill predictability. If it doesn't work in the system, it doesn't work at all.
We asked three people who lived this problem to join us. Aisha Rahman, a program sponsor who introduced a promise register across a complex program. Luis Ortega, a frontline supervisor who reclaimed credibility by clarifying team commitments. And Nina Patel, a delivery coach who turned promises into testable experiments. Welcome. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, James. Happy to be here. As a sponsor, I kept seeing teams firefight because upstream promises were fuzzy. We needed something like a ledger, not to police people, but to make decisions visible and defend our team's capacity.
Appreciate it. On the floor, promises are lived experience. When I started writing down what we actually promised and who asked for it, people stopped assuming and started negotiating. That small change saved our weekends, and more importantly, our credibility.
Hi, everyone. I'm a delivery coach, and I care about making commitments testable. A promise that can't be measured or reviewed is just hope. We teach teams to treat promises like experiments. Define the ask, set acceptance criteria, and schedule a checkpoint.
Moderator challenge. Each of you name one promise you refuse to let slip. And why? Aisha, you first.
I refuse to let cross-team dependencies slip when a sponsor has committed timelines. If I've asked for something to align at go-live, I own making sure that ask is resourced or renegotiated, because sponsors are accountable for what actually happens, not what they intend.
I won't let customer-facing commitments slip without a fallback. If my team tells a client a date, we have a named fallback and a steward. No vague assurances. People deserve clarity, and honesty protects relationships.
I refuse to let promises remain unreviewed. If something's on the register, it needs a weekly check. If we don't look at it, we implicitly accept risk, and that's how surprise escalations happen.
Good. Those answers already gesture at what the promise register must hold. Let's do a deep dive. Nina, walk us through the one-page register, the key fields, and the decision rules for acceptance.
The register has six fields: owner, ask or, requested date, dependency or blocker, estimated cost, time or resources, and fallback. Simple language. Decision rules. If a promise adds more than a defined percentage of your capacity or creates a new dependency that isn't already in scope, it needs sponsor approval or an explicit trade-off. And every entry gets a steward, someone who updates status weekly.
So the register is not a no button. It's a decision tool. If it doesn't fit, leaders must offer an alternative, a later date, reduced scope, or a resource. Principles only matter if they change behavior. This changes the behavior by forcing the trade-off conversation.
And here's the dignity first bit. When renegotiating, use scripts that protect face. Say something like, "I want to honor this request, but taking it on as is means X will be delayed. Here are three options I can offer. Pick one, or let's revisit scope." That preserves relationships while protecting capacity. Power and leadership comes from trust, not position.
That script works on the floor. I used it once with a product manager. Calmly explained the trade-offs, offered two alternatives, and we both walked away knowing what would actually happen. No yawning promises, no weekend gluing things together.
In my program, we added acceptance criteria to the register. Deliverable X became deliverable X with Y test cases and Z documentation by date D or fallback B applies. It made acceptance objective and reduced blame when things shifted because we could see the trade-offs on paper.
Let's talk mechanics, the weekly promise check. Mark, how do you run it without turning it into bureaucracy?
Keep it short and ritualized. 15 minutes, fixed agenda, new asks, status updates for commitments due in the next 7 days, and one wildcard, any promise at risk. The steward runs it, not an executive. If the register is one page, the meeting references only that page. Limit updates to status changes and decisions. If a promise has moved, capture the renegotiation script used.
And measure two things during the 30-day pilot: number of surprise escalations and delivery predictability against promised dates. Small measures keep the register honest and prevent it from becoming a ledger nobody updates.
We capped the register to active promises only, no backlog dump. And we named a steward who spent 30 minutes twice a week keeping it current. That small overhead paid off quickly. Fewer midnight fires and better planning conversations upstream.
Case study time. Aisha, can you share the moment you realized the register worked? Not anecdote, but the indicator that convinced leadership to keep it.
We tracked surprise escalations. In month one, we averaged 5 per week. After introducing the register and a stewarded promise check, that dropped to 1 per week within 6 weeks. Leaders stopped fielding last-minute crises and started having honest trade-off conversations. The team reclaimed focus time, and predictability improved enough that we could plan releases with confidence.
I remember that change as quiet weeks. No frantic Slack pings at 9 p.m. People planned work instead of rescuing it. That feeling, predictability with dignity, was huge for morale.
Now, for the leadership tension. Keep promises to preserve relationships versus protect capacity. When do you say no, and how do you do it without damaging trust? James?
Say no when a new ask undermines previously accepted commitments without a trade-off. But always pair the no with an offer, a timeline change, reduced scope, or a resource swap. Leaders must see no as a capacity protection decision tied to clear trade-offs, not as a refusal to help. Culture is created by what leaders tolerate and reinforce.
And deliver the no with respect. I can't take that on as requested because it will delay X. Here's how we can still help. Option A or B. Tone matters almost as much as content.
We coach leaders to rehearse the renegotiation script. That reduces defensiveness and keeps the focus on system trade-offs. People accept decisions they helped shape.
Okay, practical pilot plan. Choose one team, put the steward in place, use the one-page register, run weekly promise checks for 30 days, and measure surprise escalations and delivery predictability. Use the dignity-first scripts in every renegotiation. Small, measurable, reversible.
Promise stewardship is servant leadership in action. Your role as a leader is to remove barriers, not become one. When you make commitments visible, owned, and testable, you convert goodwill into durable capability.
Reflection question for the listener. What is one promise you will put into the register this week? Name it. Write the asker. Choose an owner. And decide the fallback. Try it. Small experiments compound.
If you want the one-page promise register and the 30-day pilot checklist, we made them available on the show notes. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the toolkit and future examples of this in practice.
Excellence is not an outcome. It's a way of leading. If people don't feel respected, excellence is impossible. Subscribe, download the template, and start the pilot this week. We'll be back with stories from teams who tried it and what they learned.